Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on at 8 o'clock this evening, on Tuesday evening. It's on every weekday evening, either 6:30, 8 o'clock, or 9:30, or 11. And on the weekends at 11 o'clock or earlier, 9:30. And before I begin, I'm going to tell you the topic of today's broadcast will be, is happiness possible? You know, people want to be happy, but I'm not sure they really know how to go about it. So, I'm going to examine how to go about being happy, or what I think is the way to obtain happiness. Before I do that, I can talk about a little bit of myself and my background. This is the Politically Incorrect Show. Namely, it is a show interested in facts and truth and honest discernment and honest and critical thinking. And we're not interested in media hype, media falsehoods, or anything like that, or media lies, or political rhetoric. We're not interested. It's not true. We're not interested in fads. We're not interested in that kind of nonsense. What we are interested in is honesty and truth and getting at the critical issues in our society on today's world. Second thing, I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture and to the creeds of the Church, and I see an Athanasian and Apostles' Creed, and if I read a book, I'll read a Christian book, whether Calvin, Luther, or Bonhoeffer, or T.S. Eliot, or G.K. Chesterton, or St. Augustine, or any of the greats. These are the people that stir me. These are the people I want to know about. These are the people I wish to inform me, particularly Milton, the author of Paradise Lost, a great, great epic poem where Milton handled in very clever fashion the critical historical event in the world, the fall of man into sin, and our present mess of wickedness that we live in. He explained it, he handled it, and he talked about it effectively in his great epic poem, Paradise Lost. And he also wrote Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes, equally great pieces of art and works of art. If you want to read a great author, a religious author, I suggest you read St. Paul, whose epistles will inform you magnificently of the Christian faith. He was beheaded and lost his life for being a Christian. And St. Peter, I have to say, was crucified all upside down before the gates of Rome as a martyr. Most of the apostles were martyred. And in fact, for the first 400 years, many, many people begged for martyrdom at that time. Second thing is, have to say that I operate two radio shows, a Blog Talk Radio Show and a podcast radio show, and these have a mass world influence. Over 4,000 people have visited my podcast, and many people from Muslim countries, particularly Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Iraq, have visited my Blog Talk Show, as well as India and Bangladesh, and many others, including European countries such as Ireland, Germany, and the United Kingdom. I've had many visitors to my shows. I'm happy to say the Blog Talk Radio Show has had many visitors from all over the world. I am also the author of over 800 blogs, and I'm publishing these blogs in two books, and many, many people from countries all over the world have visited these blogs. And have expressed interest in my thinking in these blogs. Both of these blogs will be future books, two books I'm preparing of these blogs, and they are handle literary, religious, and political issues. I'm very happy that these blogs are available at academia.edu, my website, and on social media. And I have had many, many visitors from all over the world who have read and visited these blogs, I'm happy to say. including my dear Muslim brothers and sisters who have visited these blogs frequently, and I'm very happy, Christian in orientation, and I'm extremely happy that my Muslim brothers and sisters visit these blogs and listen to them and read them. And I also want to say I have a friend in Iran, a philosophy student, who has expressed a great interest in my Christian thinking, despite being a Muslim. Muslim people are intelligent, they're extremely able, and they're extremely willing to listen. Next, I have written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. I've written a Christian book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays of Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. And I have written a book on the parables. Most recently, I have written a 390-page book on the Psalms. The Psalms are, as John Donne said, the great Anglican poet, they are the manna of the church. They're great. They're spiritual. They are great Jewish lyric poetry, and they are spiritual treasures. I've never stopped reading them since my Sunday school days. I've memorized the first, second, and 23rd Psalm, and I cannot read them often enough to be raised and lifted up from this very, very dreary society we live in. I'm planning a book on the miracles in the Bible and on the book of Job and other books I will plan. So, I have written over 800 articles, and three of them, Syracuse Law Review and Academicus, a Albanian Scientific Journal, have been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. Now, that's as much as I'm going to say about myself here. And I want to handle a very interesting topic tonight. And that topic is, what about happiness? Or is happiness possible? Everybody wants happiness. And for many people in our modern society, happiness consists of further and greater acquisition of wealth and material goods. These people think they're going to be happy by materialism as their benchmark. And they believe that happiness is found in more and more money and more goods. Others, that's one route to happiness that many people adopt, materialism. Others seek happiness in sex and sexuality. They are pleasure seekers. And that's where they seek happiness. They are the modern Epicureans who, in continued sexual pleasure, hope to find happiness. So two people, we have two groups of people, materialists and sex addicts, that hope to get happiness by this method. Others seek happiness in the culture and the life of the mind, whether literature, music, art, or philosophy. In a word, intellectual activity. I find intellectual work giving me great satisfaction personally. And there's a group of people that seek happiness in culture and the life of the mind, whether literature, music, art, or philosophy. In a word, intellectual activity. They are a somewhat thinner group than used to me, since materialism and sex has displaced literature, the humanities, and philosophy as the prime end and force of our societal mechanism. Given these many options, one might ask, how can we get happiness? How can we gain happiness? Well, that's quite a complicated question because many people don't know how to go about it. Let me make some suggestions. The first ingredient to happiness and of a happy life is the community and affection that can only be obtained within the traditional family. A fulfilling and happy family life is a basic ingredient of the happy life. It is only in the family, the structure of wife, husband, and children, that there can be that community and exchange of love and affection that largely makes life tolerable. So, the first route to happiness, I think, is the family. I repeat, the traditional family of wife, husband, and children. that community of love and affection can only be obtained within the traditional family. And a fulfilling and happy family life is a basic and very important ingredient of the happy life. It is only in the family structure of wife, husband, and children that there can be that community and exchange of love and affection that largely makes life tolerable. The second ingredient of happiness, I think, is fulfilling work. For many, if not all, work consists of sameness and drudgery, and most work is rather routine, boring, or physical in character. Thus, for the factory work or clerk in a store, retirement as soon as possible is a welcome relief. But fulfilling work, I think, is a great ingredient of happiness. But unfortunately, most people, if not all work, largely consists of sameness and drudgery. It's boring and physical in character, whether they work in the factory or the clerk in the store. Work which is intellectually challenging and fulfilling, which involves the solution of human difficulty and problems, can add a great measure of happiness to the life of any man and woman. So I think intellectually challenged and fulfilling work, which brings about the solution of human difficulties and pressure and pledge problems, can add a great measure of happiness to the life of any man and woman. In short, work which may enable one to make some sort of positive intellectual contribution to society is a great addition to the happy life. Fulfilling work, preferably mental work, which can enable you to make some sort of positive contribution to society, can add to the happy life. The third and very important essential ingredient for happiness is some measure of good health. For those of us who spend and live our lives in constant pain and suffering, life is burdensome and difficult, it's fair to say without some degree and measure of health, life is largely intolerable. Good health increases our chances for some sort of sort and degree of happiness. So I've named some routes to happiness, the traditional family, fulfilling work, which is challenging and fulfilling, and which enables you to make some sort of contribution to society, and then a measure of good health, very important ingredient of happiness. People whose health is poor, whose life is consists of pain and suffering, life is burdensome and difficult. It's fair to say that without some degree and measure of health, life is largely intolerable. Good health increases our chances for some sort of degree of happiness. I think, and this is very important, the fourth and perhaps most important basis for happiness and a happy life is the ability to go outside of ourselves, our egos, and our narcissism, and involve ourselves in the lives of others. As I say, this is a very important ingredient of happiness. It's the ability to go outside of ourselves, our egos, and our narcissism, and involve ourselves in the lives of others. It is only by stepping outside of ourselves and touching the hearts and minds of others, if not loving and serving them, that a measure of happiness may be had. So it is only by stepping outside of ourselves and touching the hearts and minds of others, if not loving and serving them, that a measure of happiness may be had. Many, if not most of us, spend the large measure of our life in self-involvement. We largely wallow through our lives in self-love. In this misery must consist, since self-love and self-involvement lead nothing more than boredom and gross unhappiness. It is only by stepping outside of ourselves and involving ourselves in the joys, affections, sorrows, and pains of others that some fulfillment, if not happiness, becomes possible. And I think it is only by stepping outside of ourselves and gaining the hearts and minds of others, or preferably by loving and serving them, that a measure of happiness may be had. Unfortunately, many, if not most of us, spend the large measure of our lives in some sort of constant self-involvement. We largely wallow throughout our lives in self-love. And this is the root to misery, since self-love and self-involvement lead nothing to more than boredom and gross unhappiness. It is only by stepping outside of ourselves and involving ourselves in the joys and affections, sorrows, and pains of others, that some fulfillment, if not happiness, becomes possible. Let me conclude this with a few words that I think will guide you into the route to happiness. For the happy man and woman, the world is a place of infinite possibilities and treasures. The contented, if not happy man and woman, they go through life mightily and completely with what life may happen to offer them. The happy man and woman takes from day to day and from year to year what life may offer them, always seeking involvement in love and affection with their fellow human beings. The happy man and woman grasps the goods of life as they come to him or her, seeing in every situation and person endless possibilities for affection and involvement. So let's conclude this. The happy man and woman, for the happy man and woman, the world is a place of infinite possibilities and treasures. The contented, if not happy man and woman, as they go through life, involve themselves mightily and completely with what may offer them, and takes from day to day and from year to year what life may offer them, always seeking involvement in love and affection with their fellow human being. The happy man and woman grasps the goods of life as they come to him, always seeing in every circumstances and person endless possibilities. The happy man and woman go through life with zest, taking what may be before them or may be offered them, declining none, and embracing all. In every person, creature, rock, flower, or stone, the variety of the Creator, and going outside of herself with the only chance for happiness. I conclude with the fifth ingredient for happiness. That ingredient is the transcendent, a sense of transcendent. The happy man or woman, I think, sees potential and possibilities beyond his or her immediate material involvement. The happy man and woman has a feeling and sense of the transcendent and spiritual that on some level or basis gives him or her a sense of joy and connection with others, and a feeling that every man will be in community with him in spirit. Thus, the happy man sees value and importance in every man, woman, or child, whatever their race, class, or sexuality, knowing that in their connection with him, he will still be with them and beyond them. So this is the conclusion that I put to you, my dear friends. For the happy man, the world is a place of infinite possibilities. The contented, if not happy man and woman, go through life involving themselves mightily and completely with what life may happen to offer them. A happy man or woman takes from day to day and from year to year what life may offer them, always seeking involvement in love and affection with their fellow human beings. A happy man or woman grasps the goods of life as they come to him or her, always seeing in every circumstances and person endless possibilities. The happy man or woman go through life with zest, taking what may be offered to them, declining none and embracing all, and seeing in every person the chance and opportunity for involvement, and going out by going outside of herself, which only offers the ingredient and chance for happiness. The fifth basis, and very important basis, for the happy man to be happy is the sense of the transcendent or spiritual. The happy man or woman, I think, sees potential and possibilities beyond his or her immediate material involvement. The happy man or woman has a feeling and sense of the transcendent and spiritual, and on some level or basis gives him or her a sense of joy and connection with what is beyond himself or herself, and gives him or her a feeling that in every man and woman there will be community with him in spirit. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk about happiness, and you can find it in my chapter, in my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview. You can find it on page 111 to 113. I hope you've enjoyed it. I had to speak very fast and quickly, and I may speak about this again tomorrow so that you can know exactly what I'm saying and possibly gain some insight from it. Thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk. Bye.